With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
If it's Sunday, it's football day right here on Assignment Football on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio. Join us for the next 90 minutes as we talk NCAA and NFL football with your hosts Thomas Duck and Mike Mastrolio. It's Assignment Football on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio. Now here's Tom and Mike. Everybody, and welcome to Football Sunday. It is Sunday, week four of the NFL season here on October 4th. It's a really awesome morning already. We got two teams already going at it across the pond. Well, like, for me, it's across the pond and then across the continent and then across another pond, but it's over in London. The Jets and the Dolphins currently sitting at 13-7 in the second quarter. Looks like Ryan Fitzpatrick just threw an interception. We are joined, of course, by our co-host, Mike Mastrolio. Mike, what's going on this morning?
Nothing much. Trying to follow this football game a little bit while I kind of prep for the show and found it to be completely uninteresting, but that's the typical London game nowadays. I think these guys get some jet lag when they go over there because the games seem to be generally uninteresting that are played in London.
Yeah, and not that we planned on talking about it a lot, but that's kind of the thing with the league seems interested in putting a team over there. They basically, I mean, Roger Goodell's come out and said he'd be interested in putting a team in London. I just don't see how it would work from that standpoint. The travel standpoint alone is just, and the logistical standpoint of sending a team every week to go play a team in London, and it just seems like it would be a difficult thing to do. Like, you talk about how, Oakland just snapped their streak of not winning in the East Coast last week. Talk about sending the San Francisco 49ers to play the London Jaguars.
Right. I mean,
that'd be horrible. Horrible.
I think the London team would be really, really good at home and really, really bad on the road for all those reasons.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that at all. So cool. All right. But, yeah, it looks like if you've got Chris Ivory, he's actually off to a good day. I think he's got about 80 yards and a touchdown already. I know that I'm playing a guy who's got Chris Ivory, so I'm excited for that. But in that league, I have Le'Veon Bell, and he scored me 20 points the other night. So good on that. That's cool. So all right. So let's talk about what's going on. But first, we're gonna give you a little info here. We are brought to you in part by our good friend Matt Covendo. For professional financial advice regarding retirement planning, investments, and life insurance, contact Matt Covendo and receive a complimentary planning analysis. Call Matt today at 315-671-1864, and he will hook you up and get you set for your financial future. And if you'd like to join the show, you want to call in and ask us a question or give us a comment, the number to call is area code 347-637-2812. So if you don't have unlimited long distance, those kind of charges would apply. All right. So we had a game on Thursday. It was Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Pretty interesting game in the way that it was called towards the end by Mike Tomlin, especially in overtime. What are your thoughts on the fourth down calls, not going for it and not getting it and not kicking? I mean, I guess I kind of understand not kicking, but what are your thoughts on that, Mike?
Oh, my God. So if you're an NFL team and you have a field goal from 50 yards for the win and you don't kick it, your kicker needs to not have a job immediately. Like,
right.
You have to be able to kick a 50-yard field goal to win a game at a reasonable percentage. When it's like you just played 65 minutes of football, here's a 50-yard field goal, you can win the game. So you just give yourself a 50% chance, go figure, to kick a field goal and win the game. And I think there's a lot of kickers in the league that probably kick 50-yard field goals at 60, 70%. Scobie's bad enough you can't even give it a shot.
Well, that's kind of the thing. It's like, you know, if your confidence level in your kicker is that low, why is he on your football team?
Exactly.
But here's the kind of the flip side to that though, Mike, and I didn't realize this. Justin Tucker obviously went on the Baltimore Ravens, got the ball, finally were able to get within Justin Tucker's range, and he kicked a 52-yarder to win the game. Do you realize that tied the longest field goal in the history of Heinz Field? 52 yards.
Kicking there is tough. I mean, the field conditions in Heinz Field are generally pretty bad. I remember one wet game, particularly. This was years ago, and I was only watching the game because I had Willie Parker on my fantasy team, and it was like raining crazy. So this was a few years back, and a punt got kicked that landed in the turf. Like the ball stuck in the turf.
I remember that.
So this is not the best field in the league. That being said, when they lined up for that field goal for Tucker, I'm like, he makes this. He was going to make it. He looked like he was going to make it. He was confident. He did his normal routine. He kicked the ball. It went in. Good game. But if you give the ball to Le'Veon Bell on that fourth down, I see it. You put the ball in the hands of Mike Vick, who, you know, five years ago, Mike was a really good quarterback, but that's your winning play. Like, here's Mike Vick.
Yeah.
So,
and it's, you know, it was quarterback run to the left, and then he uncorked a pass that was no good on the second fourth down attempt that they tried. It wasn't great stuff, and obviously the confidence level in Josh Scobie is way, way down. I don't know. I guess they don't I don't know. You've got to kick the field goal. I mean, at least put them out there, and then you can say, look, you know, we tried it, and it didn't work, and whatever, but, you know, you've got it. The 3 points wins you the game. Maybe, you know, give him a 50-50 shot at it, you know?
So now we have a reason to fire him if he misses it. At least now we can legitimately get rid of this guy.
He missed enough kicks in that game.
Yeah.
He missed enough kicks in that game to fire him.
Yeah. Well,
but who are you replacing him with?
You mentioned the Vick run. Okay, so I'm an old Syracuse football fan, and as a kid growing up, I learned to passionately despise Paul Pasqualoni because of the short side option. And there's nothing worse to me than you need a yard or two, and you run to the short side of the field. Like, give yourself a chance. You're on the left hash. Run right. You have an extra 10 yards. And Mike Vick, the reason you're giving him the ball is because he's really fast. So theoretically, he can turn the corner with an extra 10 yards. You give him the short side option play. I was like, no, the short side option play. Don't do that.
Right. It's horrible. You're running into the boundary. Right. You're giving yourself an extra defender to have to beat, which you can't beat because he's just there. The extra defender being the boundary. No good. And Mike Vick, let's face the fact here, folks, that Mike Vick is not 27-year-old Mike Vick anymore. He's 35. And I'm going to tell you right now that I was not as fast at 35 as I was at 25 or 27. And I'll tell you, I'm 43 years old. I'm a lot closer to the speed I was at 35 than I was then when I was 35 to the speed I was at 27. How's that? Not good.
Yeah.
I'm not Mike Vick.
You're not Mike
either.
Vick.
Yeah, no, not been accused of being Mike Vick, which is good on some levels, I guess. All right, so we're going to go over some key injuries right now. It looks like if you have Andrew Luck as your starting quarterback in your fantasy league, you may want to pay very, very close attention because it looks like he's not going to play against Jacksonville today, which makes I don't know what to make of that game if Andrew Luck doesn't play as far as the Colts are concerned. If your fantasy football team, I would take him out. That's really, really bad news for Indianapolis, because I don't really even particularly like their chances to win the game. Even though they have Matt Hasselbeck as their backup quarterback, they haven't been really, really good with arguably one of the better quarterbacks in the league so far this year.
I was listening to ESPN radio earlier in the week, and Bomani Jones was talking about Hasselbeck, and he made a great point. He's like, you heard Hasselbeck was their backup, and you're like, yeah, that's pretty good. Hasselbeck's not bad. And then think to yourself, when was the last time Matt Hasselbeck played meaningful football? He's 40 years old. And they've been, and to your point, they've been bad with Luck. They're not going to be good with Hasselbeck. So
I don't think Matt Hasselbeck's coming in and rallying the troops, you know, getting to overtime and saying, you know, we're going to take the ball and we're going to win.
Yes. Come on, guys. Let's do this.
So that's not great. Also out today for sure, Alshon Jeffrey will not play today. LeSean McCoy is not playing today. Sammy Watkins isn't playing today. Tevin Coleman remains out. And, of course, Dez Bryant with the foot injury is out for at least a couple more weeks. They're looking at him coming back after the bye. So there's that. As far as players that are expected to play today, I've got two notables. Arian Foster is expected to make his first appearance of the season, and it looks like DeMarco Murray is going to be back in the Eagles' backfield. So there's that as well.
Jay Cutler.
And Cutler is going to play.
Well, he's out on the field taking the majority of the reps, apparently, and he took the majority of the reps in practice on Friday. So looks like he's going to play, too. I don't know if that's really relevant news just because the Bears are so bad.
Well, who are they playing today? Oh, I'm blanking on that right now. You've got Oakland's defense, that could be big news for you. Go ahead and insert the Raiders' defense. Look for the pick six. Cutler. All right, so that's good. Cool. What else you want to talk about before we hit the break, Mike?
Well, we've got the game of the day that we want to do some focus on, even though it's quite a ways from your hometown nowadays, is the Giants-Buffalo game. Looking forward to that. You know, here locally, there's a lot of Giants and Bills fans. So I would imagine a lot of the people listening to us on the radio are from our area here in Syracuse, in your old hometown.
I'd imagine.
So there's probably a lot of interest in that game. I'm looking forward to that personally. Since the Patriots are off, it's a no-stress Sunday for me.
Yeah, important to note that it is the first bye week of the season. Two teams on the bye this week, Tennessee Titans and the New England Patriots. We are going to talk a lot about New York and Buffalo coming up a little bit later in the show. We're going to be joined by Tim Galligan, who is a writer at fantasysportswarehouse.com. He's also an editor and the vice president of social media for fantasysportswarehouse.com. And in light of that game, I just want to say a big shout out to one of my really good friends, one of the most special people in the world for me, a good friend of mine, Paul Phillips, as he sits, he's in the hospital right now, by all accounts, resting comfortably. And today's show is kind of a tribute to Paul. The first song on the show today was Learning to Fly by Pink Floyd, which is one of Paul's all-time favorite songs. And all the songs you hear today will be songs that either remind me of Paul or are one of Paul's favorite songs. So there's that. So hope you're feeling that. I hope you're having a great day, Paul. And we're all going to root for the New York Giants for you today, even though that's something that I don't do easily. So with that said, we're – no, not exactly, but that's okay. I'm a Paulie Phillips fan. As of right now, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to do our fantasy hot or not segment. We're going to talk about some players. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not fully prepared for this, but I'll get prepared over the next 4 or 5 minutes. Don't worry about it. I'll come up with something, I'm sure. So we're going to take a break when we come back. Fantasy hot or not. And a little later in the show, like we said, New York Giants and Buffalo Bills on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughter-Zinsky brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings, get you ready for the upcoming weekend in college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Back again here on Assignment Football, Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Kind of a couple other things we forgot to get on to about the Thursday night game before we move forward. Steve Smith discovered he had a back injury in that game. Looks like now initially reports were some reports saying that he broke four ribs, but then it looks like he's got a transverse process fracture and stuff like that. By all accounts, this is the same injury, a transverse process fracture. That's the same injury that Tony Romo had last year that caused him to miss the Arizona Cardinals game for Dallas. And by all accounts, it's just a matter of pain management. So it looks like Steve may be able to come back pretty quickly. I know that Romo missed one game. That might be the exact kind of timetable for Smith. But important to note that a player of Smith's age is having some back issues this early in the season. And he's also important to note that Mike Mitchell from the Pittsburgh Steelers is now on Steve Smith's personal hit list.
I like that. Lifetime hit list for the one other game they're going to play in the rest of his life. I would not want to be on Steve Smith's personal hit list. That's a bad man right there.
That is. And so the advice to Mike Mitchell is, of course, ice up, son. So there's that. Looks like New York and Miami are at the half over in London. New York is leading 20-7. They've got another touchdown before the half. Eric Decker looks like he got that one. So Fitzpatrick to Decker, been a pretty good combination actually early on. He's got three touchdowns. He's got a touchdown in each of the first three games he's played this year. So there's that. So there we go. What's that? Miami. Yeah,
I said Miami's a hot mess.
How wrong?
We thought they were going to be pretty good. Like,
how wrong
pretty bad.
Are we? I'm done. I'm finished with it. No more. Every year, Miami's going to be really good this year. Miami's going to be really good this year. And then they stink again. They got Ndamukong Suh and they can't play defense. It's really bad. And they got more players than that on defense than just Suh. They've got some other guys. Oh, hideous.
Their leading receiver at halftime is Jake Stoneburner.
Yeah, buddy. I have him on, if you play Madden, I have him on my Madden Ultimate team because I haven't been able to upgrade yet, but... yeah, he's good. That guy's good. All right, the Fantasy Hot or Not segment that we are about to mangle is brought to you by FanUpNetwork.com. Go to FanUpNetwork.com today to sign up for the free FanUp Network app. Simply register at FanUpNetwork.com and follow the instructions for your platform. Android, iPhone, Windows, BlackBerry. Is that a thing? They don't do BlackBerry. I'm just kidding. And FanUp Network will help you dominate in all your leagues. You can keep track of all your fantasy teams in one place, see real-time player news, and receive expert fantasy advice. So go to FanUpNetwork.com and sign up today and follow them on Twitter, at FanUpNetwork. So there's that. Good stuff. So fantasy hot or not, it's going to be an interesting day, especially considering the fact that there's a lot of guys right now who are saying, you know, who are kind of in panic mode because they woke up and they found out that Andrew Luck's not going to play today. So what are they going to do, Mike? I mean, who do you like this week for fantasy?
Well, okay. So as far as a quarterback, to me, that's one of the easier positions to fill because there's 32 of them that are going to start this week and you can give yourself a reasonable chance at quarterback. If I had to start a quarterback who is somebody I could maybe pick up, it would probably be Tyrod Taylor. We're going to talk again about the Giants-Buffalo game, but just some quick stats on defense in that game. the Giants, through the air, give up 335 yards a game. On the ground, they give up 74.7 yards a game. Buffalo, through the air, gives up 326 yards a game. On the ground, they give up 74 yards a game. So this is two teams that you do not want to run against, but you really, really, really want to throw against. So if you have any combination of Eli Manning, Tyrod Taylor, any of the receivers or tight ends from either of those teams, I'm all over those guys. I really like the passing games in both teams' passing games as far as fantasy start perspective. And then Buffalo, you've also got the no LeSean McCoy angle. So Tyrod Taylor is going to be leaned on a little more, both in the running game and kind of throwing the ball to get them out of spots. So Bills passing game, Giants passing game, I think we have a shootout and a lot of points scored there. So I would go with either side of that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. As a matter of fact, I've picked up Tyrod Taylor in a couple of leagues. I have a league where I have so bad. My two quarterbacks that I went into the year with were Tony Romo and Ben Roethlisberger. So there's that. That was fun. So
in theory, that was a good start.
Oh, yeah, it looked great on paper. And then, you know, injuries happen, and that's the way the NFL is. So you got to adjust. So I picked up Tyrod Taylor in that league, and I actually picked him up in a couple leagues. Another league where I had Tony Romo, and I think I'd have another league where I have Ben Roethlisberger, and I think I picked him up in those two leagues too. And the reason being is Tyrod has been sneaky good early in this year. He's looked really good, and it's not just like, oh, he's got good numbers, but man, he doesn't look very good out there. He looks good out there. Now, people, you know, and I think we were a little bit guilty of it back in the preseason, where we were looking at, you know, the quarterback situation in Buffalo and saying, man, they don't have a quarterback. It's no good. All these guys are just cast off. The thing is with Tyrod Taylor is that when he was in Baltimore, he was drafted by Baltimore, fifth round out of Virginia Tech. And he got there. There's no way he's going to start because they've got Joe Flacco. So he is learning behind Joe Flacco for 4 years and then becomes a free agent and says, I want to crack at this. I want my one chance to start. And so he went to Buffalo wisely because he knew he could compete for the job. Won the job, and he's looked like a serviceable, maybe more than serviceable, NFL quarterback. This guy is pretty good so far.
Yep, from a fantasy perspective, he gives you he's going to pick up 3 or 4 or 5 points with his legs. There's a chance he runs one in, so he's got some additional upside with the running game. And again, they're against a defense that gives it up against the pass. So
they sure do.
If you can plug and play him this week, that's good. And Eli in the past has been a quarterback that would have definitely been owned. But I would suspect that Eli might actually be a guy you could add off waivers right now in some leagues.
I think so. I'm trying to look that up right now because that's interesting to me to note whether or not Eli's available in a lot of leagues. I know that Tyrod actually is one of the hotter ads on Yahoo this week. He was a huge ad actually. He was Carlos Williams, also from the Buffalo Bills, who that's a guy you got to have. If he's available in your league still and you're looking for some help there, you've got to have Carlos Williams because LeSean McCoy is out today. Okay. And Carlos Williams they really have liked what they've seen from Carlos Williams, and they should. The kid looks really, really good. Just to answer your question, Eli Manning's actually owned in 91% of leagues, which I'm really shocked by that.
Well, if you're part of the 9%, you might want to grab him for today. Carlos Williams is an interesting case because LeSean McCoy is kind of seen as this, big-time number one back. But LeSean McCoy has typically been really, really good between the 20s. And Carlos Williams has this look like he's really, really good inside the 20. And from a fantasy perspective, you probably want the guy that they're giving the ball on third down and that's really, really good around the goal line. So he might actually have more value than McCoy going forward.
And Tyrod Taylor is owned in only 72% of leagues. So there's 18% of leagues out there. Go check right now. I'm telling you. Go check right now. Tyrod Taylor could be available in your league. And the kid's been really good. Really good.
Also, Cutler and Carr in the Chicago-Oakland game, there's a chance those guys are not owned or somebody might have dropped Cutler, you know, started off owning him at the beginning of the season. Oakland – Buffalo and New York are the first two as far as yards against. They have the worst pass defense in the league. Oakland's third. Those are the only three teams that are giving up more than 300 yards a game in the passing game. So there's a chance that Cutler, is I don't want to say like returns to his normal self, because that's kind of three interceptions waiting to happen. But there's a chance Cutler has a pretty good game today and scores some fantasy points.
Possibly, yeah.
You know, yep. And then also Carr, who's been a hot pickup for the last couple weeks, so may not be available. But Carr's another guy, if you haven't caught on to that yet, probably pick Carr up if you're in need of a quarterback. That being said, Carr is not a guy I would start this week. We talked about this a little bit before the show, that Chicago's pass defense is seen as this atrocious defense. Their defense isn't on the field because they keep throwing pick sixes, and they're bad enough against the run that teams just kind of walk it into the end zone against them. And it turns out they're only giving up like 195 yards a game over three games.
Right.
So that's like one game of Tom Brady total.
Right.
So they're, if I had them, I think I would actually, if I had an option, I might avoid starting Carr this week. And the funny thing is, in looking at it, all of the good fantasy quarterbacks are against bad defenses this week. I could talk about, like, oh, I wouldn't want to start, you know, Peyton Manning, one of the obvious starts that I'd want to not start this week. And there's none of them. I'd start every one of them. So almost any quarterback you have, you can be happy with this week. I was going to go with Andy Dalton because I'm not a huge fan of him. He's going to shred. It's perfect conditions, sunny day out there.
Right.
So, yeah, not a lot of guys to in the sort of hate aspect of this quarterback conversation. And the one guy who, if I could start any quarterback, like if I was doing the DraftKings or one of those daily fantasy things, I would be all over Cam Newton today. Cam Newton gets Tampa Bay's defense. Cam Newton has played six games against Tampa Bay in his career. In those six games, 16 touchdowns, 10 through the air, 6 on the ground. Cam Newton is going to blow up today. So, like Cam.
Seems legit. Let's see. Wide receivers. Man, it's tough out there right now for wide receivers. It's so hit or miss. Obviously, if you're looking for, like, I added Rishard Matthews. Obviously, that's working out great. He's got one target and no catches so far today. I added Rishard Matthews in a couple leagues. He was a very trendy kind of wide receiver pick. So, you know, I thought and he should be, because he's actually had really good production, and his production's increased every week. He's looked more and more like he's Ryan Tannehill's favorite target. And of course, I ruined that by picking him up. I picked him up too.
So,
we're like the kiss of death.
Yep.
We are awful.
Now, so receivers that you might want to actually look at, though, again, going back to the Buffalo Giants game. Now, obviously, Odell Beckham's owned. Sammy Watkins, even though he's hurt, probably owned. But you might be able to pick up a guy along the lines of a Percy Harvin, a Reuben Randall, or Charles Clay, the tight end from Buffalo. He's probably owned if you're in a league that anybody has a tight end on their bench. But that being said, if you're in a league with 12 teams and there's only 12 tight ends, there's a chance Charles Clay's out there. Those are some guys I would look into, again, kind of targeting what I anticipate to be a crazy, you know, shootout type of game. A couple other receivers that I like that are in that, you know, there's a chance that you might actually be able to pick this guy up. Marvin Jones of Cincinnati is quietly having a pretty good season. And they're playing Kansas City today. Kansas City, fourth worst defense against the pass in the league. And really good against the run. So again, given an option, you're probably going to throw it. And
absolutely,
Marvin Jones has a tendency to catch long touchdowns. So I like Marvin Jones as a pickup. And also another guy who's got some pedigree but may not be owned in your league would be Pierre Garçon of Washington. And he gets the good luck of facing against Philly's Byron Maxwell, everybody's favorite corner to pick on. So
that's such an awesome situation for Philadelphia. They paid that guy a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money, a lot. And he's just getting shredded. Now he faced off against Julio Jones week one. Week two, he got shredded pretty good too. And he didn't face Dez Bryant when they played the Cowboys. It was Terrence Williams that was beating him up pretty good. And he got burned by Terrence Williams and Brandon Whedon. That's a heck of a combination.
And Terrence Williams had zero catches for 0 yards last week. So it's not like Terrence Williams is on fire and he's just Dez Bryant waiting in the wings.
No.
The proof was in the pudding last week that you can't just plug and play somebody for Dez Bryant and be all right. So
especially not when the quarterback's going to be Brandon Weeden and he's not going to even look at his wide receivers through the entire second half. If you went, I'm sorry, I'm going to go on for it. If you went back and look on the game film, take a look at some still shots. Wide receivers were open everywhere, and he was just checking it down. So a little bit of a sore spot. Anyway,
you sound angsty.
I was a little anxious last week in the second half and wondering out loud, what in the world is going on? So anyway, Terrence Williams is available in about 33% of leagues. He might be a good play because I kind of have a feeling they may go ahead and try to force the ball that way, coming out there and really try to get the wide receivers involved early in this game. I think New Orleans is the team to do it against. They give up. I was doing a little research for a story I wrote this week, and New Orleans gives up 15.6 yards per reception. That is the worst in the league.
So do you think Weeden will actually look at his receivers before he checks it down to Dunbar?
I think so, but I think Dunbar is a huge play in PPR leagues again this week. I told you last week Dunbar was a big play in PPR leagues. If you could get him, go get him. He had 10 receptions for 100 yards. That's a pretty good day. If he would have gotten the end zone, it would have been a ridiculous day. He would have had 26 points. So go ahead and if you're in a PPR league, you're looking for a running back, go ahead and add yourself some Lance Dunbar because I do believe we're going to see a bunch of check downs today. I don't know. I don't know how much they're going to play from behind in this game, so I don't know how much they're going to throw it, but they're going to throw it some anyway. Robert Woods is available in 98% of leagues for Buffalo. That's something. And Allen Hurns also available for Jacksonville. He's kind of had a really up and down year. I don't know that I would add him, but
Hurns has sort of had an up and down career. He has big games just enough to show you, like, wow, this guy's got some potential. Maybe I'll add him. And then it's a lot like the Terrence Williams thing. You would have added him because he had a great week. Then he's got no catches. And you go, oh, that was a waste of a pick. He has that potential where in a plug-and-play situation, he's kind of feast or famine. He might give you 20 points. He might give you one. But Hurns does have potential. As far as running backs go, it's tough to talk about running backs because you feel like anybody worth starting is probably already owned in your league because the running back situation is generally all the good ones are owned in a fantasy league that's any good. But if you're talking about like daily fantasy and you're going to start one guy, Melvin Gordon's awfully attractive today going against Cleveland's defense. We talked a little bit last week about how bad Cleveland is against the run.
Yeah.
And they did not help themselves statistically. I want to say last week they were averaging 160 yards against on the ground. And your up-to-date stat on Cleveland is 158.3. So they did not – I mean, they held somebody to 155 last week apparently because they knocked a yard off the tally.
Yeah, the only thing that I don't like about Melvin Gordon is the way that he's used. And in the sense that as soon as they sniff the 20s, it's like, okay, rookie, off the field, let's go. Let's get Danny Woodhead out there.
Yeah, our hammer, Woodhead.
Yeah, yeah. It's just they don't – I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Mike McCoy anyway. He's one of those guys that I'm just like, well, how is this guy an NFL head coach? There's another one that's coaching right now on television. Yeah. I was just saying that's the guy I was talking about. How is this guy an NFL head coach? Good Lord.
So Miami picks up on Ndamukong Suh. They're supposed to be this stout defense. They're second worst in the league against the run right now. If our show was 3 hours earlier, I'd have been from the top of a skyscraper saying start Chris Ivory. And, you know, the first half I have his name written down and then, you know, it, just in my research. And then, of course, he's already playing and he's got 90 yards and a touchdown at the half. And in my not starts, so I have Lamar Miller and the people that you don't want to play, and that's sort of a personal vendetta at this point because I wasted a draft pick on him.
Me too.
I wouldn't have played Lamar Miller given any other option, and of course he's proven that correct as well. The opposite side of what I talked about earlier with the Bills and the Giants, they're two of the top three or four rush defenses in the league, and or actually they're the top two rush defenses and the bottom two pass defenses. So you can sort of extrapolate from that that teams sort of take the path of least resistance against them maybe.
Absolutely.
So, you know, maybe the stats lie a little bit in that you're not even trying to run because it's easy to pass. But that being said, if you can avoid their running backs, you may want to because they're not getting 100 yards total against either defense. And they both have pretty good running back cores, so I'd probably avoid that.
quick update here. You've got so far Chris Ivory's day, just to kind of give Mike's point some credence. Currently 19 yards. Oh, hold on. Make it 20 yards. No, that wasn't him. Okay. 19 yards, 131, 19 carries, 131 yards, and a touchdown. And then they give the, they had first and goal on the two, and they gave the touchdown to Zach Stacy. But still, he's having a huge day.
They want to spread it around, you know?
I hear you.
Give Zach Stacy some run. Boy, the Dolphins look awful. I mean, here's a team I really thought could, I'll honestly say, even though I'm a Patriots fan, I thought there's a chance Miami contested for this division this year.
Dude, I thought they were going to go 10-6. I said 10-6 for this team.
Yeah.
They might be.
If they win another game at this point, it's surprising. They look terrible. They're at home today. The Jets are not a good offense.
They're in London. They're in London.
Well, whatever.
Still, they were home last week, and they got murdered. It was bad.
They're the home team of record.
The Bills destroyed them last week in Miami. And they just – it was their home – they just looked completely flat. They had no – it's like they are not inspired at all. They are – they're already done. It might as well be December for them.
Well, so two guys that should go on vacation immediately are Philbin and Josh Scobie. Just take each other out on a long, extended vacation. And if they both got replaced, it'd be a big help to their teams, I think.
We're done with fantasy for right now because I want to talk about this. Philbin, I mean, is there any way that he makes it through this year?
No.
They
win the next 10 games. But no.
Right, if they lose like three or four more games in a row and they're like 1-7, don't you just have to fire him? I mean, you have to.
Now, he was a coordinator previous to his job in Miami, but he was one of those coordinators that doesn't call the plays or really coordinate anything.
Right, he's a coordinator for Mike McCarthy.
Right. So it's like Mike McCarthy kind of tells you what to do and you do it. So that's not your leader quality guy that you want out there.
He should switch jobs with
Josh Scobie. Right. He can kick field goals for Pittsburgh, and Josh Scobie can coach the Dolphins. They would both be better.
I don't like his leg on kickoffs. But Philbin's job in Green Bay was to sit up in the press box and tell Mike McCarthy what he saw. That's it. What do you see from the defense? Okay, we'll call this. Thanks, Joe. Have a cappuccino. You're doing a great job up there, buddy. So, I mean, it's cold. You got to have something hot to drink. So I don't understand it. It's just another instance of Miami making the wrong decision at coach. They make the wrong decision at, they had the general manager, Jeff Ireland. He made every wrong decision in the draft. They are not good on players. They pay the wrong guys. It's awful. It's no good anywhere. And it's really sad because the Miami Dolphins have very loyal fans. They have a huge national fan base and they just can't get out of their own way. They've had one winning season in the last however many years, you know. It's crazy.
A couple of my really good friends in Syracuse are Dolphins fans and neither of them are from Florida. So that kind of gives credence to your point. A guy who surprises me that he doesn't have a head coaching job right now is Tom Cable. You remember him from he coached for the Raiders, and then because Al Davis was clinically insane, he got let go after a reasonably solid year. And there's a guy that, you know, give him a chance. He's a good line coach. They have talent on both lines. You know, he's got to be better.
There's plenty of good coaches out there. There really are. There's plenty of good coaches, smart coordinators, smart assistant coaches who really could, you know, maybe take that next step. I mean, I don't know how many more of Seattle's defensive coordinators we can get out there. But, I mean, Miami's got to do something different. They just have to do something different.
Agreed.
Joe Philbin is obviously not the answer. All right, so we're going to go ahead and take another break. When we come back, we'll do bowl predictions, or I don't know, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll just talk about something else. Who cares? We should probably talk about the Honda City League again. I want you guys to know that, Mike, did you drop Dez Bryant?
I did. My first round draft pick, I dropped him.
All right. Well, I picked him up and put him on my bench because he will be back at some point. And at some point, I'm going to have Julio Jones and Dez Bryant in my lineup. So that's going to be awesome. I can't wait for that.
Well, my problem in that league was my roster was so bad I couldn't really afford a spot on Dez Bryant on my bench. And the way it works, you can only carry four receivers and four running backs in that league.
This is what I wanted to do. This is my little rant about fantasy because I'm done with a couple of things in fantasy. Okay. Two things in fantasy I'm done with. And this actually really speaks to Honda City. And you better tell Brad I said this. Next year, if your league does not have fractional scoring, I'm not playing in it. Okay? And if your league doesn't have an IR position, I'm not playing in it. That's it. I'm done.
I just think we need to switch it up so there's not the locked-in roster slots and make it like every other league on the planet. That would be my big change.
That's another thing. But as long as everybody – yeah, I mean, that's traditional for the league. I'm not as upset about that, but come on, fractional scoring, Brad. Fractional scoring.
I enjoyed tie. Two of the best teams in our league tied. I think they had the most points in the league in week two, and they both earned a tie out of it, which made my awful team closer to first, so that's good.
Exactly. It's like I lost by 2 points, but if we had fractional scoring, I would have won by 7.3. Anyway, no, it's not that bad, but it can be that bad. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. We'll talk about some other stuff. Who cares? It'll be back after this. Assignment Football on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughter-Zinsky brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings, get you ready for the upcoming weekend in college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Hey, football fans, looking for an alternative to your boring NFL pregame show? Try the NFL Standard right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Alan Slaughter-Zinsky, Brian Yates, and John Ames deliver the best in fantasy news, notes, and information from around the world of the National Football League. The guys will get you set for all of the big games in the day with their game previews, as well as injury updates and all of the news and notes from around the world of the National Football League. Once again, if you're looking for the best in NFL game day coverage, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. with Alan, John, and Brian on the NFL Standard.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com is your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Time in Football. Sunday, October 4th, here with your hosts, Tom and Mike. Mike, that was a song. I don't know if you're how familiar you are with that song. That's a song by John Lennon called Woman, one of my good friend Paul Phillips' favorite songs of all time. He actually was really good. He's a good guitar player, and he played that song. Well, he used that song in college. Let's put it. It was one of his tools in college.
Tools for what?
Yeah, that one is... That was in his bag. He had that one in the bag.
Hey, you gave bad information earlier. It looks like DeMarco Murray is going to play. I think you said he's inactive.
No, I said he was in. I said he was in.
But oh, my fault. Okay.
If you start him in your fantasy league, that's on you, not me.
Okay. Hey, great tweet from Mike Greenberg while we were on break. I never endorse firing the coach during the season, but this is that kind of game. #Dolphins.
Oh, my God. It's so bad. It is so bad. How bad is this? Oh, my God. And here's the other thing, too. Just kind of watching the game while we're on break. Ryan Tannehill hates my guts. I have Jarvis Landry in a bunch of leagues. He doesn't throw to him for 3 weeks, basically. I mean, you know, he never gets a touchdown. And so he keeps throwing the ball to Rishard Matthews. So what do? I bench Jarvis Landry. I pick up Rishard Matthews in a couple leagues. We're not going to look at Rishard Matthews today.
And they just failed on a 4th-and-2 and gave the Jets back the ball around midfield. So started bad, looking worse.
That's a metaphor for their season already. They failed on a 4th-and-2 because they're failures. All right. Well, I don't know. You want to do bold predictions? You just want to talk about other stuff? I don't care.
I got some bold predictions for you.
All right, good. I have none.
I don't know how bold they are.
I'm done with bold predictions.
I've done all my predictions.
I want to stop. Before you go, my bold prediction last week was that the Dallas Cowboys were going to hold Julio Jones under 100 yards and out of the end zone. That worked out great. That was awesome. I'm done.
You mean the consensus best receiver in the league right now after 3 weeks, thanks to Dallas?
He
looked pretty good.
And can we just give Atlanta the NFC East crown? I mean, do they have to beat Washington to prove it? I mean, they're better. They are so good. They're way better than I thought they were going to be. Way better.
Well, for what it's worth, Carolina's pretty good too.
I'm not saying they're going to run away with the division.
Boy, there's a division that couldn't get an 8-8 team last year, and those two teams look like world beaters all of a sudden. Atlanta did have, in all 3 weeks, though, Atlanta sort of has shown weakness. They've come back to win the games, but they have not looked great at halftime in any of their three wins, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
They were down to the Giants. The Cowboys were running all over them. Joseph Randall looked like a world beater for a little while.
I thought he was going to have 200 yards.
Yeah. And then for some reason, I don't know if they got away from him or if Atlanta just started to slow him down. But it looked like at the beginning of the game, they couldn't slow him down. And then at the end of the game, his stats didn't bear that they kept,
I'll tell you exactly what happened. At the beginning of the second half, they became ultra predictable. All they did was run it on first down. Atlanta knew they were going to run it on first down because they came out, they had a 28-17 lead. Well, 28-17 at halftime in this league isn't really that big a lead. They came out, they got ultra predictable. They ran the ball on every first down in Atlanta. Dan Quinn's not stupid. He's a really good defensive coordinator. Now he's the head coach of Atlanta. He's like, all right, well, just gear up for the run on first down, send 8 or 9 guys. And they refused to go away from that. The Cowboys offense was basically not on the field in the second half. They just basically weren't. They had, I think, two or three and outs early. And that's when Atlanta got all the momentum. So that's what happened. And they went away from the run game because Atlanta made them go away from the run game. And Brandon Whedon basically refused to throw the ball down the field. He only checked it down. Witten, Beasley, and Dunbar had really nice days in the stat sheet. But there it is. So anyway, your bold prediction for today, Mike.
Okay, well, my first one kind of is going to fall in line a little bit with our pick six anyway. We had two teams we both kind of liked going into the season were Minnesota and Oakland. They're both on the road today, and I'm going to take them both. My bold prediction is that the two teams – so to kind of backtrack, week four is a big week in the NFL because it really – when the haves and the have-nots really start to separate themselves, this Jets-Miami game is a great example. If you flip the scores, all of a sudden you look at it and you go, okay, these are two reasonable teams that could sort of threaten on any given week, and you can't just walk over either of them. And at the end of today, you're going to go, wow, the Jets are a team to be reckoned with. And you're also going to go, wow, Miami is going to be a cakewalk every week for whoever they play. Week four is this week that creates this great dichotomy, I think, because you have the teams that get to 4-0 look unbelievable. The teams that are 1-3, 0-4, basically, they're already packing it in. So Minnesota and Oakland are both 2-1 and both on the road and both have a chance to sort of separate themselves. The reason it's a bold prediction is Minnesota's at Denver. And Denver looks really, really, really good, at least on the defensive side of the ball. And what I think you might find here is Adrian Peterson can teach us that Denver's run defense isn't as good as we think it is. And so I think the bolder part of my prediction is that Minnesota goes into Denver and wins a game.
Yeah, I really like Oakland at Chicago, and I think that's definitely the Minnesota pick is definitely bolder. Definitely bolder.
Yeah, Chicago picking Chicago to lose a game isn't all that bold. It's more that Oakland has been bad for a long time. Like,
and you're picking them to win two games back to back on the road, and that's huge for Oakland because that's something they haven't done in I don't know how long. I mean, they hadn't won a game on the road in almost 2 years.
Last week they came to did that west to east trip with the 1 o'clock game and won it, and we talked about how difficult that is to do.
Right, and they laid it on Cleveland pretty good too. I mean, it was close at the end, but I mean, that was a pretty good performance from a young football team on the road.
So I wrote down these bold predictions earlier in the week, and so when I kind of joked that maybe they aren't so bold after all, part of it is because the boldest of my predictions was going to be that Jacksonville wins at Indy. But now without Andrew Luck and facing the 40-year-old Matt Hasselbeck, it doesn't look as bold as it did 3 days ago when I wrote it down.
I like it a lot, actually, now. Yeah, I like that pick a lot now.
Yeah, so Indy hasn't lost a game in their division in 2.5 years. They went 6-0 in the division 2 years in a row, and then they won their first divisional game this year. So
barely,
I guess picking Jack
by the way,
to win on the road at Indy, regardless of who Indy's running out there, is kind of a bold prediction because it's been a long time for Indy.
Yeah, Mariota's been was really good last week against them. I really like the Jacksonville Jaguars against Indianapolis this week. Maybe I'm a little high on it, but I really like what they bring to the table. I think Jacksonville is one of those teams that you can look at and say they've got a young nucleus of players right now that they could be really, really good in a couple of years. Defensively, they still need some improvement. Offensive line still needs some improvement, but they've got a franchise running back, I think, in T.J. Yeldon. I think they got a guy who can be a franchise quarterback in Blake Bortles, and they got some young, nice receivers. And you and I are kind of the same opinion that other than like three or four guys, receivers are kind of plug and play. It more depends on the quarterback than it does from the pass catcher.
Yep. But Allen Robinson is nice too. I mean, look, he's not Julio Jones,
nice,
but he can create some separation. Bortles throws a nice deep ball. Indy's not particularly good against the pass, but you know, Julio could be a recipe for a Jacksonville win. I kind of hope it is. It'd be nice to see some movement in that division as opposed to Indy just steamrolls everybody, you know, 3 years
every
running
year because the other three teams can't get out of their own way in the draft. Yeah. Okay.
So my other prediction for the day, I hit on earlier, Cam Newton, highest scoring quarterback in fantasy today. I think what he is going to do today against Tampa Bay with Jameis Winston, he is going to come in and teach Jameis Winston a serious lesson about quarterbacking in the NFL. Because they're similar guys. You know what I mean? They're big, strong dudes. They're mobile. More so Newton than Winston in that case, but big strong arm guys that came in with some hype as young quarterbacks out of the South, you know.
Yep.
And I think Cam Newton's going to come in and just teach a lesson. And Winston at the end of the day is going to go, wow, that's the guy I want to be 3 years from now.
I think he was saying that
Cam
3 years ago too, by the way. Just kind of throwing it out there. I think he was saying that 3 years ago was winning the Heisman in the national championship. So, here's the other thing. Okay, who does Tennessee play today? Anyway, because I didn't touch on this last week. Has there ever
Tennessee's
been another
off.
Tennessee's off. That's okay. So in the first 3 weeks, okay, Marcus Mariota in week one he's the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, right? In week one, he faced off against the previous year's Heisman Trophy winner. In week two, he faced off against the Heisman Trophy winner in the year before that. So he's got to be the first guy who's ever done that, right? And then last week he gets Andrew Luck, who, did Luck won the Heisman, right?
No,
Robert Griffin won the Heisman that year. Oh my God. Well, anyway, Luck should have won the Heisman. But so he's also going to play Cam Newton this year. So he's going to play against three other Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks this year. Has that ever been done?
I don't know. We'll go with no.
I don't think so. It doesn't seem possible.
Well, I will say this. It's interesting discussion, but the fact is the Heisman Trophy doesn't necessarily translate to being a great NFL quarterback or NFL player in general, but you have guys, young talents playing against each other here. And it's nice to see these young gunslingers kind of, you know, going head to head. And I think it adds extra motivation for these guys to go out and prove to the guys who've been great in college and the guys who are young in the NFL to kind of separate themselves from the pack of these other, you know, young gunslingers. Because you've got this old guard that's sort of in the twilight of their careers with Brady,
getting really
Manning,
old,
you know, Aaron Rodgers,
Breed, Romo, you know, all those
Romo,
guys,
all,
Rivers,
right, the
guys, Manning.
Who, yeah. And now you've got now this young group who, like, who's going to be the next Aaron Rodgers, Tony Romo, Tom Brady? And you have an opportunity to separate yourselves from these guys. And you certainly would have said before the season that it's Andrew Luck. And
I picked him as my number one quarterback in fantasy. Number one.
Yeah.
That was my top guy.
Shoot, you and everybody else, dude. And you know, you would have said him or Rodgers. And now you look at it and you go, there's some other guys who can challenge him. And, you know, even in his rookie season, you would have said Robert Griffin. And now Robert Griffin hurt, and not really having an opportunity. So it's an interesting dynamic with these young dudes of, you know, who really is the next great quarterback among all these guys with all this hype, and no one has separated themselves yet. So
no, that's for sure.
But today, I think Cam Newton separates himself from everybody, and you look and you go, wow, that dude's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's a good prediction. All right. Looks like our caller, our guest is on the line. So what we'll do now is we'll go ahead and take our break. And then when we come back, we're going to start talking about some football that's going to be really important in the upstate New York, central New York area. Buffalo Bills hosting the New York Football Giants a little later this afternoon. We're going to go ahead and take our break. And when we come back, Tim Galligan's going to join us and talk about that game right here on Assignment Football, Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12?
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Hey, NFL fans. Be sure to join Alan Slaughterzinski, Brian Yates, and John Ames every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the NFL Standard. Every Sunday morning at 10 Eastern, Alan, John, and Brian will bring you up-to-the-minute fantasy football news and notes, injury reports, as well as all of the news from around the National Football League. Again, every Sunday morning at 10, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, it's the NFL Standard, a can't-miss for every NFL fan.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big 10 in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughterzinski brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings, gets you ready for the upcoming weekend in college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
of Mike Mastroliò, our co-host. I'm Thomas Duck, your host here on Assignment Football. We are going to be joined in just a moment to help us break down the New York Giants and Buffalo Bills by Tim Galligan. I just want to go through what I played today for you for my good friend Paul Phillips, my main man Pauly P, Learning to Fly by Pink Floyd, Here Comes Your Man by the Pixies, Woman by John Lennon, and of course Run Like Hell. That was the last song there, also by Pink Floyd. Pauly's a huge Pink Floyd fan. Mike, I know you're not as big into the Pink Floyd, but that's okay.
Sometimes when I watch Wizard of Oz, I'll put it on.
Oh, yeah, buddy. But that's got to be a special occasion. All right, we're going to bring in our guest now to help us break down this game. Our guest, Tim Galligan, a writer for FantasySportsWarehouse.com, an editor for FantasySportsWarehouse.com, and the vice president of social media and leader of the Twitterati. Tim, are you there?
Yes, I am. Tom and Mike, thank you for having me this morning.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. Yeah. All right, man. So here's the thing. Mike and I, Mike is a graduate of Syracuse University. I lived in Syracuse for 20 plus years. Syracuse area is possibly the hugest battleground of the New York Giants versus Buffalo Bills fan base. It's like the front of where the two fan bases meet. Western New York meets Eastern New York, and the Giants and the Bills battle it out for who's the best. So this game is really important to those fans. So tell me, Tim, and I know you are a guy who covers the Giants. Tell me today, how do you see this game going? What do you think the Giants are going to be able to do against the Buffalo Bills defense as they go into Orchard Park?
Well, the Giants got a boost this morning because Ereck Flowers is active. So they're going to have their rookie left tackle back and going to have Justin Pugh moving back to left guard, and they're going to have John Jerry back on the bench where he belongs. So I think that against the Bills' defensive line is going to give the Giants' offense a boost and actually give them a chance to move the ball against the Bills' defense. And that, to me, is going to be the key to the game for the Giants, is how will their offensive line handle that Bills' defensive line? Because if they can't keep Eli upright, they're not going to be able to put up points.
Yeah, Tom and I talked about that at the beginning of the year, and I was like, I really like how the Giants have gone to the direction of spending their first-round pick on offensive linemen the last 2 years in a row. And Tom kind of laughed at me and said, their offensive line is a joke. It's terrible.
I did.
And, you know, so my whole point was, well, at least they're trying, you know.
No, that's true.
I think my big thing with this game today goes back to what I talked about before we went on break, and that's this is a big transition week in the NFL. So here you have a 2-1 Buffalo team at home against a 1-2 Giants team on the road. And two things can happen in this game. At the end of the game, you have a 3-1 Buffalo team that you go, wow, these guys can give the Patriots problems possibly going forward. They lost one game to the Patriots by 8. They were in the game in the fourth quarter, and you have that sort of rhetoric in regards to the Bills and Giants alternately at 1-3, you'd go, you know, they gave away a couple games. It's going to be the difference in their season. They are not going to compete for this division, et cetera. Or you have two 2-2 teams who at the end of the day, you go, wow, here's two teams with a lot of upside. They've got all these positives and they could both threaten their division going forward. So, you know, it's a crossroads for both teams. So I'm going to enjoy this game greatly.
Well, threatening in the NFC East could be a matter of winning 6 games the way that the contestants are looking this year. I mean, Dallas is losing an offensive star a week.
Yep.
Philadelphia has pretty much gutted, Chip Kelly's gutted the team of talent, and the Redskins are the Redskins. There's really not too much talent to speak of there, and what they have is in disarray. So,
yeah, I will say this about the Giants offensive line. They've played better than I thought they would play. I still think they need some work, but Ereck Flowers has looked a lot better than I thought he would look initially. Rookie left tackle sometimes can struggle. I don't think he's faced what I would call an elite pass rusher yet. He's going to see that today in Mario Williams. So it's going to be interesting to see how Flowers faces up against him. But like I said, I think that the Giants offensive line has played much better, and Justin Pugh, Syracuse alum, has looked good at guard, much better than he did at tackle. So there's that.
And all up from when they drafted him, I thought that he was better suited for guard. And I was waiting for them to move him inside. And it's interesting, just some of the gamesmanship in the NFL. The Giants front office and Tom Coughlin insisted that Few was a tackle the entire offseason up until they reported for the offseason program. Then they introduced their newest left guard. And out came Justin Few. And everybody suspected it, even before the drafting of Flowers, that they would have Few moved inside, because it just seemed with his short arms, he was naturally a guard. And it's proving out on the field. And I think the inside of the Giants' offensive line is in very good shape. But the tackles, Marshall Newhouse, two franchises gave up. The Packers and the Bengals gave up on him in back-to-back years. And NFL teams just don't let quality linemen walk out of their facility, and two, let him walk. And that tells me everything I need to know about him. He's held up all right, but I feel a lot better when Lil Baby is back, which I'm hearing could be as soon as week 7.
That'll be
a big boost. And if the Giants can have 3 wins and be 3-3 and get Baby back, I think they're in position to take the division.
All right. Well, I think obviously that depends a lot on what Dallas does, but Dallas has a really tough schedule coming up. But let's talk about the Buffalo Bills and what they've been able to do under Rex Ryan. I mean, obviously they gave up a lot of yards in that one game against the Patriots. So their defensive numbers are a little skewed, but against teams other than Tom Brady so far this year, they've looked really good on defense. And they seem to have found a quarterback in Tyrod Taylor. How do you think that the Giants defense is going to, I mean, I think they get a little bit lucky today in the fact that LeSean McCoy and Sammy Watkins are both out. But how do you think the Giants defense is going to face up against the Bills, and how they're going to stop their attack?
The Giants defense has actually been doing all right against the run, and surprisingly well, since that was an area where they struggled last year. Where they have had their issues is stopping the pass. They've given up 3 straight 300-yard passing games. And I think Tyrod Taylor is going to be up to the challenge. He's going to be throwing in the seams. I look for Charles Clay to have a big game. I look for Percy Harvin to have a big game coming in for Watkins. And I wouldn't be surprised if even Robert Woods stepped up and had a solid performance. The Giants have no pass rush. They're getting.
Yeah, it's almost like you listen to the rest of our show. Those are all guys we called out earlier in the game earlier in the show as possible fantasy, you know, guys with a lot of upside today. And we also mentioned, you know, statistics at this point in the year can be a little bit deceiving because you've only played 3 games. And like Tom said, if you got one game where you gave up 500 passing yards, your pass defense looks really bad after 3 games. But it's an interesting matchup in that you have the two best rush defenses and the 2 worst pass defenses. So I'm hoping for a huge shootout, you know, lots of offense and a really entertaining game out of these 2 teams. If I had to make one prediction about this game, Odell Beckham goes nuts. So I think that as a Giants guy, you might see a lot out of your young stud there.
I think it's possible, but only if Eli is upright. And as a Giant fan and someone who's been covering the Giants, I think they're going to have to go with the short passing game, because I just don't know that the Giants' offensive line is up to the task of holding the Bills' line at bay. I don't think they can keep both Williams and Hughes out of the backfield long enough for Eli to take shots downfield. And the Bills are going to blanket Beckham and Randall, who had a sneaky good game against the Redskins 2 Thursday nights ago, could be the guy today. I could see him having 100 yards and a touchdown again, maybe 2, as the Bills shift the focus of their defense to Beckham. Another interesting story to watch today is Will Tye, the Stony Brook tight end, who was signed off of the Giants practice squad when Daniel Fells and Jerome Cunningham both were unable to go. They're both inactive today. So he's actually going to be on the field in 2 tight end sets with Larry Donnell. And he looked good in training camp and in the preseason games, good enough to make it on the practice squad, and now he's going to get his shot. He's a very good blocker and a decent receiver. He could sneak out into the flat and do a little bit of damage today. So Will Ty is another name to keep an eye on.
Awesome. Will Ty. Okay, I'll absolutely keep an eye on that one. So, I think I agree with you. I think it definitely depends on the kind of protection that Eli can get. Because, listen, no doubt about it, this Buffalo Bills defensive line is one of the top five defensive lines in this league. They've led the league in sacks over the last 2 years. So this is a really tough challenge for the New York Giants offensive line. I think you're absolutely spot on that the only way the Giants win this game is if they can find some kind of protection, buy some kind of time for Eli to get the ball down the field. I think that's an absolutely perfect assessment of how this game's going to go.
Four made the Pro Bowl last year. So the defensive line's probably the best one in the league, and I don't think there's a whole lot of argument that can be made.
Yeah, I mean, there's some lines that look really good on paper. Miami, who had zero sacks this year, so they looked good on paper. Houston looks really good on paper, but you know, it's just Clowney. I don't know if that's ever going to work out. But the Bills, they've been great on defense, great on defensive line, as far as getting to the passer, causing pressure. But let's move on now. Let's go ahead and get to our pick six segment. Tim's going to help us out here, just to kind of give you a little bit of insight into where we're headed here. Our guests so far are 11-7 on the year after a 4-2 week from Alan Zlotarczynski last week. Mike has improved also to 11-7 with a 5-1 week in week 3. The only game he missed on was the Dallas game, and boy, did that look good going into the half. And then I, of course, after a 4-2 week, have improved to 9-9. I'm only 2 games back. So look out. I'm peaking at the right time.
I'm not going to take Dallas anymore because I know you'll pick them every time, and then I get, you know, one up on you.
I will guarantee you I am not picking Brandon Whedon to beat Tom Brady next week.
Oh, well, okay.
Okay.
Me neither.
So, all right, so the games that we're picking today, we're going to start with Kansas City at Cincinnati. Tim, what do you got for me?
Well, I think Kansas City breaks through this week. There's too much talent on that team, and Cincinnati is coming off a big win, and they're going to let down, so I'm taking the Chiefs.
All right, Mike, Kansas City at Cincy.
Well, we're going to agree to disagree then, because I think this is, again, the transition week 4 here, where you really separate the haves from the have-nots, and I think Cincinnati is one of the haves, and they are at home. And I really like them. Their offense has looked spectacular. AJ Green's looked really good. Their running games looked pretty good, except for when the week Hill put the ball on the ground a couple times. And even in that case, it showed the depth when Bernard came in and had an awesome week. So, I really like Cincinnati. Their defense has been good for a few years in a row now. And I think it will give, Kansas City some fits. Kansas City is easy to defend against because essentially you can stack your 11 defensive players in the first 10 yards of the field and go, okay, Alex Smith, throw the ball over our heads. Good luck. And he rarely can. So I really like Cincinnati to beat Kansas City in this matchup.
I do too. I'm going to pick Cincinnati. It's for probably the same reasons. I like Kansas City a lot defensively. I like a lot of the guys that they have on offense. It's just that the quarterback doesn't seem to be either A, willing or B, able to get the ball down the field. And you've got to be able to do that in the NFL to make defenses respect you. So I'm going to take Cincinnati. I like them better. I think I got to be honest, this is another team early on before the season. I thought, man, they could be taking a step back this year. And it looks like they may take a step forward. This could be the division is out there for them at this point.
Teams in their division have taken a step back. So it gives Cincinnati a big window here. They have an opening to be really good this year.
All right, next game, Oakland at the Chicago Bears. Tim, who have you got today?
We've got to go with Oakland. Chicago is having a fire sale. They've traded Jonathan Bostic and Jared Allen, and they're shopping Matt Forte. So I think that they're waving the white flag already. Oakland is returning back to the days of the 70s, where they actually have an offense. They can go downfield. They can run the ball a little bit, and they're playing some defense. I just don't see how the Bears can keep up.
Michael.
I agree with everything you just said. I think if I hadn't heard all the things about Chicago shopping their team, this is one of those things where – you know, Chicago may not be as bad as you think they are, and Oakland may not be as good as you think they are, and Chicago's at home, and Oakland's coming off a high next week. They might be overconfident, and so you might let yourself pick Chicago. And then you hear that there's no way this team has any morale because they're willing to give away all their players. And I couldn't pick Chicago if you know, I wouldn't pick them, period. There's nothing you could do to make me pick them. I'm going to take Oakland. I like Oakland going into the year. And this is a chance for them as a young team to separate themselves a little bit. If they can get to 3-1 this week, boy, that's a great first quarter for a team that probably didn't have a whole lot of expectations coming in. So I like Oakland too.
Yeah, and I'm going to pick Oakland as well. This is a team that I think I was on. I know, Mike, I think you were on them too a little bit in the preseason saying, man, they got a chance to really be an improved team this year. Getting a 3-1 start would go a long way to that. I still don't see them making the playoffs or anything like that, but I think, you know, they could be a team that ends up 7-9, and a 3-1 start would really help them out because they've got some games coming up against Denver, Kansas City, teams that are just better personnel-wise than they are. All right, Philadelphia at Washington. Mr. Galligan, what do you think?
Well, these are always close games, but the Eagles lost another offensive lineman, and I think that's going to be the difference. I'm going with the Redskins.
Okay. Michael?
I thought I'd be the only one to do that. So I'm going to pick Washington, too, and my reasoning is, well, essentially I really don't like Philly, but the field in Washington today is a mud pit. And there was some pictures of the sideline where people had been walking and it just looked like, you know, a Grateful Dead concert. It was like boot prints everywhere. The place looked awful. And Philly's offense in particular wants to go, go, go. They want to beat you with speed. They want to run plays in 10 seconds and the field is not going to let them do what they want to do. And then Washington's defense is pretty good too. So I like Washington.
All right. Yeah. I mean, okay, so here's the deal. About 10 seconds ago, I was going to pick Philadelphia, and then I listened to Mike and Tim. I'm going to go with Washington as well, and it's for the reasons that you're saying. If the field is going to be that bad, I just don't see how they're going to get the up-tempo kind of thing going. Washington's defense hasn't been horrible. They've had some spots where they've kind of given things up a little bit here and there, but they could also play a little bit. If you control the Philadelphia running game, you control Philadelphia. It's just the way it is, and Chip Kelly's offense is predicated on screens and draws and weird run play designs and getting to the edge, and that's really not really conducive to playing in mud and slop, and that's what it's going to be today. So I'll take Washington as well. Dallas,
I don't understand how Philly can even set up a screen, I'll be honest with you. Their offensive line lets everybody pass them on every play, so how's a screen look any different than every other play?
Right, and that's exactly what Chip Kelly's offense is. I don't understand. His roster building was pretty poor in the offseason. Anyway, Dallas at New Orleans, Tim.
Well, if you listen to that old crypt keeper, Jerry Jones, Brandon Whedon throws the prettiest pass in the NFL. And Terrence Williams is the greatest receiver to come along since the playmaker. But then I look at some statistics, and I'm going to go with the Saints.
Okay. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I hate to do this, but I'm going to pick Dallas. I think that, you know, Whedon is all right, and as long as he's throwing it to a running back or a tight end, he completes the pass. And they kind of, after a week of looking at film and him not looking towards his receivers last week, I think, you know, they'll come out with a better game plan, and he'll be a little more prepared with a couple weeks of practice under him. And it isn't so much that I like Dallas. It's that I think New Orleans is really, really bad. I think they don't have a lot of talent on the offensive or defensive line. The rest of their defense isn't any good either. And if it wasn't for Drew Brees, this is a team that would have a real opportunity to go like 1-15 or 0-16. Like they're bad roster. Drew Brees will win them some games, but I got to pick Dallas just because I think the overall roster is so much better.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Dallas, and it's for the same reasons that you're saying. I don't particularly like Brandon Whedon. I think he can do enough to get him some wins during this period where Tony Romo's going to be out. But this is one of those games that they've got to win, and it's because of the fact that they just have better talent on both sides of the ball than the Saints do. And not only that, but make no mistake, Drew Brees is coming off a bruised rotator cuff. So his deep ball down the field, I don't know how much zip he's going to get on that. And that's really the only way. I don't think that they're going to be able to block him enough. I don't think they're going to be able to open enough holes to get Mark Ingram and Kyrie Robinson going. Brandon Cooks has not been as advertised so far this season. So I'm going to go ahead and pick Dallas as well on the road at New Orleans, which is actually now not that scary a place to play. They've lost six in a row at the Dome, so make it seven. Minnesota at Denver, Tim Galligan.
The Broncos defense is going to slow down Adrian Peterson enough to beat Minnesota at home and improve to 4-0. I'm taking the Broncos.
Okay. And Michael, I think I know where you're going.
Well, I did kind of give you this earlier in the show, so I don't want to, you know, go too much into it. But, yeah, I got Minnesota. I think this is the week where they prove we were right at the beginning of the season and that they're forced to be reckoned with. And I think counter to what you said, that Adrian Peterson proves that Denver's run defense maybe isn't that great after all and blows through them for a big game because he's Adrian Peterson and he is the Terminator. So right. I like okay. Minnesota.
I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to take Denver. But I will say this. If Minnesota comes out and wins this game, that's a statement from them. They would be 3-1. They will have beaten one of the better teams from the last few years on the road in Denver. It's a tough place to play. The atmosphere makes it difficult, and not just the crowd noise, but also the actual air itself makes it difficult. So if Minnesota is able to win it, that would be a huge statement from them. But that being said, I am going to take the Broncos, and it is because of their defense. I do like what they can do. But if Teddy Bridgewater and Adrian Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings go in there and win this, it'll be huge. But Denver is my pick.
Part of my pick, too, is a little bit of a lack of confidence in what Peyton Manning has shown this year. We've talked about it on and off the air that, you know, he has looked old. And Minnesota's defense is good enough potentially to make him look old again.
Yep. So. All right, so moving on, New York, the featured game of the week here on Assignment Football, the New York Giants at the Buffalo Bills, the battle for Central New York supremacy in Western New York. Okay, Tim, go ahead and give me your pick for the Giants at Bills.
Well, I thought a lot about this game, and I think the difference are the injuries. And with Watkins and McCoy out and Eric Flowers in, I think it tips the scales to the Giants. So I'm taking the boys in blue.
I'm shocked. Shocking. That's all right. Okay. Michael,
there wasn't
got?
A New England game to pick, or we could all be homers for the week. But I think they're going to beat the bye, for what that's worth.
Yes.
So I would pick whichever team in this game was at home. If they were playing in the Meadowlands, I would take the Giants. But as we saw against the Patriots, the Orchard Park, Ralph Wilson Stadium, is a heck of a place to play a game of football. And the Bills fans like their alcohol early in the morning on a Sunday.
They sure do.
And you're going to come into a loud environment there. And they have looked, defensively again. If you take out the Patriots game, which will skew your statistics when you play the Patriots, their defense has been really, really good. And going back to what we said before, going into the season, Tom, more than I, thought the offensive line of the Giants was going to be a problem. The defensive line of the Bills is amazingly good, and I think they do put Eli Manning on his back, like you talked about earlier, being the key to the game. I think they keep him on his back, and I think the Bills win due to some turnovers from the Giants, be it fumbles or interceptions thrown by some hurry from the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Bills as well, and here's the thing. The atmosphere you're talking about, the fan noise that you're talking about, here's the thing. They do drink really early. It's one of the best places in the world to tailgate is Ralph Wilson Stadium. The fans are super loyal. They haven't been in the playoffs this millennia, and they are still selling that place out. And here's the thing. There are four teams that Buffalo Bill fans hate more than any other teams, and they are the New England Patriots, the Miami Dolphins, the Dallas Cowboys, and the New York Giants. So these fans want this win. They will be as loud as they were 2 weeks ago when New England was in there. I just think that the Buffalo defense is just too good. They're just too good to get shredded by the New York passing attack. I think the defensive line gets to Eli probably in the realm of 3 to 4 sacks today. So I think that the Buffalo Bills will win. I think it'll be close, but I think the Bills pull it out in the end. Tim, I
so
want to
all
say
my
you.
Picks, Tom.
Oh, Yeah.
Kinda, all my picks kind of go back to what I said earlier about this week being such a big week in transition for these teams. And yep. I picked the team that I thought had more to gain, that really was going to come in motivated, where at the end of this week, if they won this game, they set themselves up as a top-tier team in this league. And Buffalo yep. at 3-1, with their one loss being a close game against a New England team that everybody thinks is really, really good, they look like an elite team if they win this game. And same
yeah,
thing with Minnesota against Denver. Like, yep. if Minnesota beats Denver today, you can start talking about Minnesota being one of those playoff contending. They might be an elite team. And so
yep.
That's really – I think those two teams come in super motivated to get wins today.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us, Tim. You guys can follow Tim on Twitter at hypercaffeinated. That's H-Y-P-R caffeinated. And he is obviously a really important part of what we do at FantasySportsWarehouse.com. Tim, thanks again for coming on the show and giving us your knowledge about the Giants and Bills matchup today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Thank
Have
you,
a great
Tim.
Day. Hope everything
you
goes
too.
Well for you. All
Take
right,
care.
Guys. So, Mike, what we're going to do now, I'm going to end the show a little bit early. I'm going to kind of play us out with a song for Paul in just a minute or so here. But I want to say thanks again to Tim Galligan. That was fantastic. Mike, what a great show we had today. I really enjoyed it. Once again, don't forget our sponsors, FanUp Network and Matthew Govendo. Give Govendo a call. His number is 315-671-1864 for some financial advice. And once again, I hope that your team is going well. I actually just saw Matt Hasselbeck on the TV. He is warming up. They are going with Hasselbeck today in Indianapolis. God bless them. And also, just to kind of give you an update, if you're not watching, the Jets and the Dolphins, the Dolphins are kind of mounting a late comeback here. There's 8 minutes to go in the fourth. They are down 13 points with the ball. They just scored a touchdown to Kenny Stills. So with that, I'm going to say a quick goodbye. This is my for my friend Paul, who is not doing well up there in Syracuse. You know what? I'm always rooting for you, Paul. I wanted to pick your Giants today, but I just couldn't find a way to do it. But I hope for you that they win. This is Paul and I were fraternity brothers back in Canton College up in Canton, New York. He's one of my favorite people in the whole world. Paulie is about the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. And our fraternity has a song for many reasons, but it's actually specifically for one of our other fraternity brothers. In this case, I want Paul to know that I'm always going to be thinking about him. And I'm thinking about him a lot today. So everybody, thanks for joining us on Assignment Football. This next song is Here Comes a Regular by The Replacements, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.
that rest is got. First the light and the collar goes up, and the wind begins to blow. Turn your back on a pay your back last call. First the grass and the leaves at last, and here comes the snow. Ain't much to break anyway in the fall.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.